I don't know, I just woke up from a little nap. It's a little dark, but you guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, talk about them on the radio, coach them. I do all I can with them. Joining me in studio, as always, she is a former member of the POU women's basketball program. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how have you been?
I've been doing well. We all are kind of hitting that final stretch of school, and the stress level is pretty high, but I think by this time next week, I'm going to be feeling pretty good.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that stress level of school is a big reason why you all who are listening didn't hear us last week. We were all extremely busy with things that are a little bit more important than this radio show, or at least that's what we need to tell our professors. Joining us as well in studio, he is a member of the POU football team. He is a tight end. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you right now?
Honestly, a little, I guess, not stressed, but just tense. My phone died, and so I didn't have an alarm, so I was running a little behind schedule today, but trying to make everything work here. But.
Yeah, one of those, that happens to me probably way too often. I'll leave my phone unplugged overnight, and then all of a sudden, your morning starts off a little rough, but we're going to fix that here on this show today.
Yep. There's a struggle bus in the parking lot, and DJ drove it.
DJ drove it here. The voice you just heard is a former member of the POU men's basketball team. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's the best time of year. You got the NFL draft. You got the NBA playoffs. You got all the best sporting events going on right now. And my capstone is on paper now, so that was great. That was a great portion of it. But I know we're going to do pretty much all football all the time for the next couple shows here, just because of the draft and free agency and everything's coming up here. Practice, you know, reporting.
Even spring ball.
OTA, spring ball. We got a lot going on. So I just want to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs really quick, Christian. I thought the two coolest things of the NBA playoffs were the Grizzlies picking up Coach Fizdale's fine for going after the refs in one of the greatest post-game rants ever. Where he said, "You ain't gonna rook us, take that for data." And he slams the table. One of the coolest NBA moments I've seen in a long time. And they come out and he gets a standing ovation in their next home game, which was cool. Grizzlies end up losing that series to the Spurs. Then you turn around last night and Dejounte Jones for the Cavaliers throws down a dunk. Norman Powell says something to him. Dejounte Jones ends up getting two tees and ejected. He's going to get hit with a $6,000 fine. He only makes about $9,000 with the Cavs. And so LeBron James is going to pick up his fine for him. So two of the coolest, you know, be there for your team and be there for your coach's moments of the NBA playoffs. So
teammates helping each other out. I had a busy weekend, but it wasn't for me. It was for others in my family.
Who?
I don't know if you all are up to date on your 1B high school shot put rankings, but the kid sitting atop those rankings is my little brother, Jonah Bond.
Yeah.
Right now ranked first in state. I think he threw like a 43.10 1/4 on Saturday. That put him in the number one spot. So as we wind down here the month of May, I'll be making a trip over to state championships to see where he ends up, barring he does what he's supposed to during tri-districts and all that good stuff. So that's fun. And then he had prom, his senior prom. Ooh. On Sunday evening. That
always
was
always a good time.
Fun to see him all dressed up in a tux. I think it's the first time I've ever seen him in a tux. So that was cool. And Monday I helped out Mackenzie watching our little nephew William again. Will makes another appearance on the radio show. And that was my weekend.
Has your opinion on kids changed yet?
I don't know. Not really.
He's getting to you. I know he is. He's
wearing on you a little bit.
You're sending me Snapchats of him with a football. And
yep. Yeah. If I'm there, he has to do some things. He does like the athletic sporting balls. So it's a good sign.
He's off to a good start.
It's a good sign.
I think this is Mackenzie's way of like slowly working the kid on you.
It's not
going to
happen.
Just slowly working it on you.
Nope. All right, we want to remind those of you who are listening that if you want to call in and talk to us at anytime. You could do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, the number to call is 253-535-7332. If you want to hear the full podcast version of this show, do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. It's all going to be there. You can check it out. Also, if you're like shorter, more condensed clips of the show, go on YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and you can find clips of the show there. Obviously, we're up to 30 whole subscribers, which is huge.
Woohoo!
Thank each and every one of you, even though I think my second YouTube account is one of those subscribers, so I subscribe to myself. But for those of you that have subscribed, we thank you. We appreciate it. With each subscriber, my grade goes up, so let's keep rolling the subscriptions in.
Isn't that kind of like liking your own Instagram post or
I don't
liking
care.
Your own tweet?
Yeah, no,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm just trying to show professors' numbers.
A little different because I feel like there's not as many subscribers as there are on Instagram.
That's probably true.
Yeah, you got quite a few more followers on Instagram. I'm Instagram famous.
Hey,
you know that local celebrity Christian Bond. Celebrity half athlete.
Public figure stuff.
Your Insta game strong.
It's there.
How many are you running with? How many followers?
I don't know off the top of my head. More Instagram followers than YouTube subscriptions for Half Athlete Radio.
That's a good start.
That needs to change. Subscribe to Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. That's one of the best promos we've ever done. All right. So let's talk about the NFL draft. It took place in Philadelphia from, what was it, Thursday to Saturday?
Yep.
7 rounds, like 300 picks made. Oh, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about every single pick the Seahawks made because you, the people at home, you love it. So we're going to talk about it. So I'm just going to roll through it here. With the 35th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Malik McDowell, a defensive tackle out of Michigan State. What should we know about Malik McDowell?
Malik McDowell, as you said, from Michigan State, coming from the Big Ten Conference. This guy is a large athlete. You guys are making fun of me for writing that. But
no, he's what?
He's 6'6", 295 pounds.
That's a large athlete.
He's a big boy.
Yeah,
and he's
a
an athlete. So he earned freshman All-American honors in 2014 at Michigan State. As a sophomore, he racked up 13 tackles for loss and 4.5 sacks. He suffered an ankle injury his junior season, which affected his stats quite a bit. He wasn't able to play the last month of season there. But he's making it. He made it big time. And he's a big guy, and he can move well. He has long arms that will extend to push blockers back and a strong base, allowing him to be explosive off the first step. And he has a versatile experience at Michigan State, playing both on the inside and the outside of the defensive line. So good first pick by the Seahawks there.
Dang.
So a little bit of defensive line help. That's the first thing the Seahawks chose to do. With the 58th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Ethan Pokic?
Pop.
Help me out, DJ.
I'm not 100% sure. I think it's Posick or Pokic.
Pokic. An offensive lineman from
LSU.
He's going to
make it big time, and we're going to know in like 2 years.
Yeah.
We're all going to be wearing his jersey. So.
Yeah,
and he might even see the field this year. But
tell me about him then, DJ.
He's a 6'6", 302-pound offensive lineman from LSU. He's probably – they'll say he'll either play guard or tackle, but I see him more of as a guard because he only has 33-inch arms, and that's short for an offensive lineman. If you put him out on the edge, then he won't be able to strike and keep separation very much with his arms with those defensive ends.
Mm-hmm.
So I see him more of as a guard, but I think he can and he played center in college.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Justin Britt is our center, and Justin Britt isn't going to bounce out to guard or tackle because he's already been there. So, yeah, it's a solid pickup for the Hawks.
With the 90th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Shaquille Griffin, a cornerback out of Central Florida.
Yeah, Shaquille had a good combine, 4.38 40, 35.5-inch vert, so he's a pretty good athlete. 6'2", 190, good speed and size. He looks to be that Sherm replacement when they're going to eventually deal him when they're tired of his mouth antics and everything else that Sherm has done wrong for Seattle. He allowed just 32.9% of the throws his way to be completed. He's a second team all conference guy, had 50 tackles and 4 picks. Those 4 picks were a team high. He's a good cover guy in man to man. He has some zone deficiencies, absolutely. I mean, with only 4 picks, though, he's not going to be an explosive go get the ball guy. He just seems like a good man to man coverage guy. You're just not going to throw the ball his way.
Yeah. Out of all the cornerbacks, he gave up the most touchdowns in 6 in the draft.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That
wow.
was my next. Sorry. My Thank fault. You, though. Appreciate you.
Interest. So an interesting selection there. Not a lot of interceptions. He gives up a couple touchdowns here and there. Interesting.
Interesting.
With the 95th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Delano Hill, a mm-hmm. safety out of Michigan.
Yeah, so Delano Hill, like Christian said, is a free safety from Michigan. Comes in at 6 foot, 205 pounds. And he was kind of overshadowed by the Browns' first-round pick, Jabril Peppers. I mean, a lot of guys on that defense were, with maybe the exception of Taco Charlton, but he's a Dallas Cowboy now. But he had a couple good seasons at Michigan. NFL.com said that he has good size and fits the safety prototype, but lacks speed and coverage skills. So I kind of see him as coming in, and maybe if he makes some plays in the preseason on special teams, that's where he could be an asset to this team this year. But as for his free safety position, Earl Thomas has that on lock, at least for this year. So maybe he could just grow and learn under Earl for a couple years and then step into the position.
That is fair. Okay. With the 102nd pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Nazir Jones, a defensive tackle out of North Carolina.
Nazir Jones is 6 foot 5 and 304 pounds.
You got all the big boys.
He's a big athlete. In his junior campaign at North Carolina, he had 70 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks. His strength is what got him to this level. Jones will initiate contact, and he has the strength to push defenders off his chest and keep them at arm's length. His wingspan has allowed him to break up 10 passes in his college career. What's going to hurt him is his awareness. That was one of his weaknesses. He's easily fooled and not quick to recover. So, and he doesn't really think of counter moves when attacking the rush plan. So that'll be interesting.
That scares me in this conference just because of the amount of play action that Arizona and San Francisco and all these teams run in this. That scares me.
So definitely a guy with some development that needs to take place mm-hmm. with the 102nd pick from the Seahawks. All right, with the 106th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Mara DeBoer. Darbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Kind of like Harbaugh. From
Amara Darbaugh, a wide receiver out of Michigan.
Yeah, so Darbaugh has an interesting story. He actually is from Sierra Leone, where he was born and grew up for a few years. But unfortunately, due to a civil war in that country, he lost both of his parents at a young age. Mm. But him and his family, his extended family, were able to come over to the United States, where he kind of, at first, in junior high, he actually was a soccer player. And then it wasn't until high school where he started playing wide receiver, and he just kind of found a niche there. So I think coming in, he'll have some development to do. But he has good measurables at 6'2", 214 pounds. I think he can come in and maybe serve as that like Paul Richardson who gets a few catches here and there and makes plays. I mean, 6'2", he's bigger than most of our wide receivers, so he can be a red zone target for us.
Yep, a guy with a very cool story. We'll see how he develops in his career as a Seahawk. With the 111th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Tedrick Thompson, a safety out of Colorado.
So Tedrick representing the Pac-12, gotta love that. 6 feet tall, 200 pounds. In his 2016 season with Colorado, Thompson had 7 interceptions and broke up 16 passes. He's a smart player with good instincts, and his athleticism helps him to make plays. His average height for a safety can afford to get a little bit thicker because it has been said that he lacks physicality and contact. So he uses his brain to make plays, but stays away from contact.
That doesn't work in the Hawks secondary. That's like the exact opposite prototype of what the Hawks have had for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Let's hope this guy's back is not broken. With the 187th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Mike Tyson, a safety out of Cincinnati.
I guess if you want to make a kid tough from a young age, you name him Mike Tyson.
Right. Right.
I feel like that's, you're just hedging your bets that your kid's going to be tough as nails. Tyson is a versatile safety and also plays corner. He ran a 4.52 at the combine. Little slow for what I would like to see out of a secondary player, but I can get over a 4.52. He's 6'1", 204, 46 tackles and 5 picks this year for Cincy. I guess his claim to fame, because, you know, we're down here in the backgrounds of the draft now. His claim to fame was he's from Cam Chancellor's hometown, and he grew up watching Cam Chancellor, and he called him his hero growing up and talked about how big of a deal he is in Norfolk, Virginia. And it was a good little interview that I got to listen to. But, yeah, hopefully he's as tough as his name, because that will fit in nicely on this team.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break. We got 3 picks left to talk about. We're going to take a short break, and then on the other side of the break, we will talk about, kind of make sense of all of the picks that the Seahawks made throughout this draft. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm PLU's half athlete, joined by a former member of the PLU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson, a member of the PLU football team in DJ Winter, and a former member of the PLU men's basketball team in Drew Artisoni. If anyone listening wants to call in and talk about the Seahawks draft, the NFL draft in general, you could do it at 253-535-7332. Again, it's 253-535-7332. If you want to hear a full podcast of the show, if you want to go back and listen to how great that first segment was, you can.
It was.
You can do it at mastmedia.plu.edu. Check us out there. And if that's not your thing, if you want to listen to a short clip in the car through Bluetooth on your way to work, on your way to wherever you're going, do it on YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Click on whatever you want to hear, and you can hear it right there. We got 30 subscribers. We need a lot more than that. So let's do it. Let's get back to this NFL draft. We left off with Mike Tyson, the safety out of Cincinnati. So with the 210th pick in the NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Justin Senior, an offensive lineman out of Mississippi State.
Yes, so Justin Senior, one of 2 offensive linemen picked up by the Hawks in this draft. He was originally from Montreal, Canada, so another international, you know, I guess, kind of star, if you will. He was a second-team All-SEC selection and has some good qualities. He has, they were saying, strong hands and long arms, but his lack of technique and footwork may limit him in what he will be able to do. Tom Cable's definitely going to have his hands full with Senior. He was actually a top CFL prospect. And in an interview I think it was a phone call with him, he was surprised he got picked up.
By the Seahawks?
So, yeah.
By a team in general?
By a team in general.
Interesting.
Kind of tells me, you know, the Seahawks always do this. They go out and they try and find some diamond in the rough. Yeah, exactly. And so, I don't know. We'll see how it works.
I mean, you can't teach 6'5", 330. You can't teach that.
it's definitely something to start with. And then work on the rest.
It's a good mold. You just have to mold the clay into what you want it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that, Deej.
All right, with the 226th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select David Moore, a wide receiver out of East Central Oklahoma.
David Moore is 6'2", 225 pounds. He has he had 10 receiving touchdowns in his 2016 season, his senior year. He had an impressive game of 9 catches for 170 yards that season. But other than that, guys, I wasn't able to find much on this guy. East Central in Oklahoma, we don't know much about the school, couldn't find much.
Is that Division II?
I don't think so. I don't know, to be honest. So kind of a wild card out of Moore. We'll see what he can produce in the big league.
I'm just really scared of double directional schools. When you say East Central
or Northwest.
Double directional, that's good.
Double directional schools scare me. When you tell me something's from two different places and you've never heard of it, I'm confused.
That's fantastic.
Amen to that.
Wow.
All right, let's get to the final pick.
That's like Northwest East Illinois Tech. Like, what?
Northwest East.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
All right, let's get to the final pick the Seahawks made. It was the 226th pick in the NFL draft. The Seattle Seahawks select Christopher Carson, a running back out of Oklahoma. State.
Yeah, Christopher Carson came from Oklahoma State. 4.58 40, so slow for a running back. With 23 reps in the bench press,
it's not
kind of know what he's going to be. It's not great for a running back.
It's power back.
Exactly. We know what he's going to be. He's going to be a bruiser between the tackles. That's what he's going to be. 559 yards and 8 touchdowns on 82 carries. 13 catches for 128 and a touchdown as well. His career has been plagued with injuries, so he'll fit in perfect with the Hawks backfield, who's always banged up. And I think the thing that scared me the most about him is he never had a rush over 26 yards in his career. So zero big play potential whatsoever. So no ability to get through the line, unhitch the trailer, and go. He's just a big dude who's going to be useful in the red zone, and that's about it.
Yeah.
His 40 time was a second slower than Marshawn Lynch's.
A tenth of a second?
A tenth of a second slower than Marshawn Lynch's.
Oh, trying to make some
comparisons.
Marshawn
Lynch ran a 4.46. This dude ran a 4.56, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a big difference between a 4.46 and a 4.56.
He lacks big play potential.
Yeah. If you want to help us make sense of what the Seahawks did in the 2017 NFL draft, you can do it 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. I'm going to throw around a couple questions right now about what the Seahawks did. The Seahawks took 5 defensive backs. It's a team that has Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman in the defensive backfield. The question I want to know is does this mean that these players are too old, broken down, not good enough anymore, or is this what kind of move, what statement does this make?
Well, Earl Thomas is 27, and as we know, he's coming off a broken leg from last season. So he's been rehabbing all offseason, which puts him a step back. So we don't really know if he's going to come back stronger, or is he going to come back a little timid? Is he going to come back lacking from missing a lot of the offseason? We don't know much about that. Cam Chancellor is 29, and he put up decent numbers last season, 50 solo tackles, 85 total in just 12 games played. He also suffered from injury. He had a groin injury that caused him to sit out a few games. And then Sherman, we already hit on him a couple weeks ago with his attitude, but he's kind of going on a slight decline as far as stats. He had 8 interceptions in both his 2012 and 2013 season, and he only had 2 interceptions in the 2015 season and 4 in 2016. So I think age could have a lot to do with it. I mean, these guys are getting older. They've been in the league for a while, and when you do get older and you're playing such a physical game, you're bound to get injured, and we've seen injuries out of all of these guys. So it doesn't hurt bringing in some younger guys, kind of have them learn from Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman, and hopefully they can fill those shoes.
So, The team took four wide receivers, and last season I can remember Jermaine Kearse getting a ton of criticism. Are one of these new receivers a replacement for him for other guys on the team, or is these another case of letting guys come in and learn? What's going on with wide receivers?
I just feel like with like the exception of Doug Baldwin and Lockett, in some situations it's kind of open tryouts every year for the Hawks at wideout. They just kind of go try to find the new hot thing with a lot of speed and someone that can stretch the field for Russ a little bit, and they found that in the draft. I think you're going to see probably two, if not three, of the guys they drafted in some sort of capacity, either two, three, four wide receiver sets. It's just weird. I don't like how the Hawks did things once again. They did the right thing. They traded back out of the first round. They weren't going to find a franchise-defining talent, so they traded back and out of the first round. But they didn't use the picks on what I thought they were going to use the picks for, which is where they are the most efficient in the NFL. And I didn't understand. You build a team from inside out, not outside in. And I think Pete Carroll is just a little too obsessed with skill players.
So you went there, Drew. You talked about the offensive line and how it's far and away the weakest part of this team. They had plenty of picks. However, they only used two of them on offensive linemen. DJ, you're a football player. Make sense of it for us.
Yeah.
Why?
Just a real quick note. We were talking about 40 times. Russell Wilson also ran a faster 40 than that Carson kid.
Your quarterback should never run a faster 40 than your running back.
Yeah. Very interesting.
End of story. No, especially when your quarterback is shorter.
Yes. Yes, but getting back to the offensive line, I mean, I kind of went on a rant on Facebook. I think it was on Christmas Eve. Who are they playing? Arizona.
Yes.
And this is a reason why I've become sort of I'm still a Seahawks fan, obviously, but I really like the way the Dallas Cowboys have done it. They have built a strong offensive line, and it is paying dividends right now with, number one, the protection of Dak Prescott and his development, and number two, having Ezekiel Elliott just be able to go like with numerous amounts of yards per game because of that offensive line. And overall, I liked this draft, but my one complaint is I think they could have gotten a quality offensive lineman in the first round, and they missed that opportunity. Even if it wasn't a franchise-defining, pick, I still would have liked to see them get an offensive lineman in that first round. But overall, like I said, I like this draft. Football is a war of attrition, and we traded around and ended up with 10 picks. And so it's just going to build more depth. But, I mean, I would have liked to see more offensive linemen picked, personally.
Yeah, there's the lowest paid offensive line in the league.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the lowest and the least productive offensive line in the league. I think we should draw a parallel between those two things.
And I think the result of only using two picks on offensive linemen shows that, I guess they have confidence. I don't personally see it, but the coaches have confidence that this O-line is going to get better, which they better, or else it's going to be another long season.
And they did pick up two O-linemen in free agency, which I will tip my hat to, because I think college football has kind of ruined the offensive line position, because no one puts their hand on the ground anymore. One, two, everyone's pass blocking, and you don't have – and then, if you have the NFL with these new contact rules – you can't hit anybody. So how do you teach your O-line how to block?
Yeah.
You can't. So I think those are two things that have changed the game. So I'm happy that the Hawks did go out in free agency and did get two veteran O-linemen because they need them.
Mm-hmm. Schneider said it best. He said it's really refreshing when you put on the tape and you see a pro-style offense in the college game.
Yep.
Because it makes scouting them that much easier because they've already done it.
Yep.
So there's plenty of draft coverage for people to listen to from us, from other people who are in the media world. We hope you enjoyed our take on what the Seahawks did over the 2017 NFL draft. Right now it's time for a short break. When we come back, we will talk a little Seattle Mariners baseball. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Don't go anywhere.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I can talk about them with the best of them. I can.
That's okay? Great.
All right. Joining me in studio, Lacey Nicholson, a former member of the PLU women's basketball team, a tight end from the football team. His name's DJ Winter, and a former member of the PLU men's basketball program. His name's Drew Artisoni. If you want to call into the show and talk about the Seattle Mariners with us, you can do it at 253-535-7332. If you want to talk about anything with us, you can. You can do it at 253-535-7332. Anything in the world, we'll talk to you about it. We will. All right. If you want to hear the podcast of the show, mastmedia.pou.edu is the place to go. The show in its entirety will be there. But if you don't want to hear the show in its entirety, you want to hear, you know, bits and pieces, you could do it. You can. You could do it at Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Type it in there. If you have suggestions for where the show should go so you can listen to it easier, tell me. Hit me up on Twitter. It's _ChristianBond. You can find me there. Tell me, you know, where you need to hear Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio or on anywhere, anything. Yeah. So, it's time to talk about the Seattle Mariners. But if we're going to do it, we have to do it right. It's a sad story. It's a sad story right now for the Mariners. We're going to talk about what happened 1 week ago, one of the saddest, hardest days in franchise history. The team was coming off a good homestand. They went 6-3 at home. Okay? Everything was working. They were going to get back over the hump. They were going to make ground on the AL West. Everything was going to happen. Team had a series against Detroit and against Cleveland coming up. Things went wrong in a hurry. It was a Felix day, and it did not look good, did not look right. He lasted just 2 innings, giving up 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and a home run. He left the game with an injury, classified as dead arm at the time. So down goes the team's ace. Even if his stuff isn't ace worthy, emotionally, mentally, Felix Hernandez is still the ace of the staff.
Yep.
And he leaves with an injury. Sad. Later in the game, things did not get better. The Mariners' best offensive player at the time, Mitch Haniger, left the game with a strained oblique. So in an instant, the team's ace and their best offensive player goes down with an injury. Heartbreaking.
Yep.
It wasn't good. The M's would lose that game. Adding insult to injury, literally, they lost 19-9.
Hey,
they gave up
positive 9 runs.
You're right. You're right. They scored 3 field goals, but the other team scored a couple touchdowns.
Yep.
It was rough.
Maybe a safety involved in there.
Oh. Just a sad, sad, sad time.
They need to play like that song.
In the arms of an angel. All right, let's stop.
Who can hit the high notes?
All right.
Not me.
Let's get rid of this violin music in the background. Let's go to something else, a little more exciting.
The world's smallest violin in the background playing Cry Me a River.
All right, Lacey, can you update me on Felix Hernandez's status right now?
So, as you said, Felix suffered from discomfort in his right shoulder. He described it to be like a dead arm, so not really painful, not much pain there, but just kind of uncomfortable, nothing coming out of it, didn't feel right, didn't feel good. The Mariners announced that Hernandez is expecting to miss 3 to 4 weeks due to this injury, and he is going to get an MRI in Seattle in the next coming week or so. So we'll figure out the root of the problem there. But, guys, my question is, a few weeks ago we were talking about when Felix was on the mound and he wasn't doing so well, and he came out of the game due to injury, in scare quotes. is this really something serious? I mean, small shoulder discomfort. He gives up six runs. What kind of injury is this?
I saw that it was a little more of a conservative 3 to 4 weeks. He's kind of determined to beat that time frame out, but he can't afford, like we've talked about before also, he can't afford to miss 6 or 7 or 8 weeks of this season. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, who would you, still, Felix Hernandez in his current state, would you rather trot out Chase DeJong?
No.
Or would you rather trot out Felix Hernandez? It's kind of, it's a no-brainer.
Did he already get his MRI or?
Yeah, I think that, I think it's just shoulder brusitis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the diagnosis. And like I said, he's trying to beat that 3 to 4 week time frame.
Got it.
I think that there is something extremely suspect about the injury. Not that it happened. I think that that it happened, that's fine. But, you know, these starting pitchers, they throw bullpens between their starts, right? And on Sunday, the Mariners called up Chris Heston. Okay, he's a starting pitcher for the Rainiers in the Mariners organization. They called him up on Sunday. Okay. Then the very next game they play on Tuesday night, Hernandez leaves after 2 innings. It makes you wonder that stuff was going on during his bullpen and they knew he wasn't right. They knew he could probably spend 10 days on the 10-day DL and be okay, but they still trotted him out there anyway. It could be me looking into it way too much, but the timing of it is what makes me think, you know, they knew about this and they still ran him out there just because.
It's a very good point.
My thing is this too, Christian, is that the last thing you ever want to hear your starting pitcher, your ace, your numero uno say is, I have dead arm.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of messaging is that? Think about just, I mean, like, yeah, everyone gets a dead arm every while, but you never want to say it felt like dead arm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that's exactly what I want to hear from my starting pitcher. Yeah. His arm feels dead. Yeah. This is great.
That's definitely more of a end of spring training. We've thrown a ton and we haven't done it in a while type of injury. Just say it's dead arm or, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird they call the guy up and then the next start that Felix goes out there, it doesn't last and he ends up on the DL. It's kind of like, you guys knew that something was wrong.
Yeah.
Sit him that start and hopefully he's better by the time the next start rolls around.
But bad messaging all the way around.
I want to go as far as saying Felix is washed up, but he is getting older and his age is starting to show.
Yep.
I think if Paxton continues on the path that he is, he will be the ace in waiting for the next few seasons.
But I think from a like a stuff wise, that's a baseball word, stuff, but what he's throwing right now is, I mean, that's, he's the ace as far as just his ability now.
He still has good
stuff. Like I said, the mental, the emotional leader is Felix Hernandez and he's not there right now. So DJ, can you tell me a little bit more about the Haniger injury and how big of a loss it is for this team?
Yes, so I'm pretty sure it was a slight strain in his oblique. And he is currently on the 10-day DL. He's kind of like Felix, 3 to 4 weeks, hopes to rejoin the team late May, early June. So that's kind of the timetable when we're looking at for his return. As far as a big loss for the team, it definitely is, because he was arguably the M's most valuable player in April, posting a batting average of .342 with 4 home runs and 16 RBIs. He was an awesome hitter in that number 2 spot behind either Segura or Dyson, whoever was leading off that night. And he was a very trendy pick for Rookie of the Year. And it'll be interesting to see that if once he gets back, he is able to continue that success. Because if he does, he could put in still a good case for Rookie of the Year. So it'll be interesting to see how he does going forward.
Yep, he was leading the league as far as rookies are concerned in several categories. I mean, he was having a fantastic start, so to see him go away for a little bit is frustrating. It's obviously not ideal for the Mariners. All of the injuries they have already experienced this season are frustrating. Gene Segura missed time. Drew Smyly hasn't even started yet this season. He's been on the DL since spring training. They're trying to make it work, and they ended up finishing the month of April 11-15. You know, and for a team that started, what was it, 1-7? I mean, that 11-15, that's, you know, it's not bad. But there are struggles. Drew, can you tell me about, you know, where they are struggling the most?
Yeah, except for the last game against the Tribe. They've consistently been winning big and losing the close ones. Average runs they lost by in April was 1.2.
Ugh.
That is sad.
That's frustrating.
They got to start winning the close ones. They can't just win the third game of the series by tacking on 10-plus on the number three or four starters in a depleted bullpen by that point. That's not going to work, especially as we get down towards playoff time, pennant races, you know, things that matter here in Seattle that we haven't had up here in Seattle in a really long time. Those things matter, and you have to be able to win those games. You can't consistently lose the first two games of the series, 3-4, 1-2, 7-8, 4-5. You can't do that and expect to be a competitive team down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. One more area. I guess there's a couple areas we could talk about, but one more before we hit this break. We got to talk about, you know, how bad the team has been at first base. They brought in Vogelbach in a trade last season. They were going to give him a chance. They brought in Danny Valencia. They were going to platoon the two. And the production has been awful. In the American League, there is only one team that is worse at first base than the Mariners. The first baseman for the team has combined to hit 160 with an on-base plus slugging of only 479. Put it into perspective. The Oakland Athletics, yes, the Oakland Athletics lead the AL with first baseman batting 295 with an on-base plus slugging of 922. It's not even close. What is the answer for the Mariners at first base?
Well, it kind of makes us miss Adam Lind and Deho Lee.
Right.
As much as it...
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean... Together combined, they posted some decent numbers last year. Good enough to win, better than it was this year. But I don't think we can wait and see anymore and wait till the trade deadline to maybe look at making a deal. I think we got to go out and sign a free agent because Vogelbach obviously is still developing and Valencia he's just been struggling. He's a professional hitter, but he's just not having a great year. And like I said, I think it lies in the free agent market. There's three players that I really have my eye kind of on. Two of them I think would be better first baseman defensively, but there's Justin Morneau. He's a seasoned vet. He's 36 years old, but you could sign him to a one-year contract and I think get some good at-bats and good defense out of him.
You just need someone solid there.
Uh-huh.
And that guy, he's old, but he fits the mold.
Yeah.
You just need someone solid.
He's a professional. Then Johnny Gomes. He's bounced around kind of throughout his career, but like I said, another solid pickup. And then Billy Butler, who spent last year with the Oakland Athletics. I know his hitting has kind of declined, but still better than what we're getting out of the Mariners' first baseman right now.
Yeah, I did not even realize that those guys were available. I was, you know, when I pitched the question, I was thinking, you know, are they going to slide Taylor Motter over there? Are they, you know?
See, yeah, I mean, Motter,
free agents,
yeah.
If they're cheap enough at this point.
It just has to be the price is right. And with Motter, he's definitely hitting good enough, but he's provided good utility work elsewhere and should be. He shouldn't have to worry about first base.
I said just the M's have spent a lot of money in their infield already. I don't see, especially with a franchise who's inherently...
Small market,
mm-hmm. and... very Moneyball-esque in terms of how they spend money, what they ask players to do, and things of that nature. I don't see them spending any more money on the infield.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it, but the
outfield
designation for assignment of Leonis Martin, that kind of handcuffs the Mariners. I mean, Taylor Motter is going to have to play one of those corner outfield spots, especially and Haniger being down right now. So they really don't have an immediate option at first base. They're kind of handcuffed with what they have.
Martin cleared waivers. He's at AAA now.
He's in AAA Tacoma.
So technically, we could select his if he works on his hitting. We could select his contract again, and we can see a backup in the majors.
Yeah, but he can come.
It's unlikely.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some time. Mm. All right, we need to take a short break. But when we come back, we'll talk about a little PLU sports. We'll talk about it's the end of the school year, so the sports are winding down here on campus. We're going to talk about some of our favorite moments from the year. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative.
It's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to wrap up the show right now. My name is Christian Bond. I'm PLU's half athlete, joined by Lacey Nicholson, a former member of the PLU women's basketball team, DJ Winter, a member of the PLU football team, and a former member of the PLU men's basketball team, and Drew Artisoni. If you want to call in and talk to us about some things and some stuff, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Check out the full podcast of the show at mastmedia.pou.edu. And if you want to hear clips of the show, go to YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube and check us out. We'd really appreciate it. All right, let's roll into it. We want to talk some PLU sports, Lacey?
That's right. We're wrapping up the PLU sports season for the 2016-2017 school year. Men's golf is an exception. They are heading to the NCAA championship later this month. Woo-hoo. Yep, holler there. And track and field athletes are still participating. I'm not sure how much you guys know about it, but
I don't
know if they're participating for championships or if they're just in meets. Yeah, Drew?
So the throwers are there's a couple throwers, Schott and Jav, who are just like inches short of nationals.
Okay.
And so they're still scrambling to throw in these last chance meets. Running's pretty much completely done except for our boy Brad,
right,
who is a freak. Dude can run forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And so they're just kind of, some guys are practicing, some aren't. Some of the women are practicing, some aren't. It just kind of depends on where you ranked and where you placed in conference and how short you are from the national rankings.
Yep. Got it. So other than that small group of people, athletics is pretty much coming to a close here at PLU. So I just want to go around and have everyone say their favorite sports moment or their favorite athlete to follow this year. Anything, really.
Can I start?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not doing my favorite. I'm doing my most disappointing moment of the
Aww.
Year. I'm sorry. I'm doing my most,
All right,
most disappointing. I'll let you guys. We'll end on the good note. We'll start with me. I'm really, really disappointed in baseball. I'm sorry. It hurt me in my soul. They needed to win two of their last six to not only, you know, be in the conference tournament, but host it. That's how close the Northwest Conference was this year. They won one of their last six and missed the tournament and didn't get to host it and probably cost Christian and I probably about $300 in hours. So we won't even start there.
They did that. You're right. They did it.
The problem with that is that they had, I don't want to say Christian, you did more games than I did, twice the talent of what they had last year. They were much better. And, I mean, they lost some arms in the bullpen, but in terms of hitting and fielding, and they were better than last year. And everyone had really, really high hopes for them, you know, to at least get into the conference tournament and make another little bit of a run. It was just really, really disappointing for how good they were.
Yeah, no, they were, I feel as a group, as a whole, they were so much better than they were last year. And last year's team was a game away from going to the national tournament. So, you know, it shows kind of how important it is to play your best game at the right time of the year. I think we saw two opposites between the two POU baseball teams from last year to this year. Last year, they started slow and then ended up peaking at the right time late in the season. This year, they were one of the better teams in the nation early in the season. And then, like you said, they had a rough patch there towards the end of the year and couldn't recover after that. So, yeah, baseball, it was tough. It was tough. Tough for, we're not even a part of it, but we're still a little sad that things went the way they did. So
I'm going to go another spring sport, softball. I got to watch my fair share of softball this year, and they definitely provided me and a couple other guys with some good moments, as in dinner. Anna Overland hit two home runs when there was bets on the table. Number one, I got sushi. Number two, I got free pizza. But just softball in general, they were able to make it to the conference tournament. First time they've done that in a bit.
Since 2012.
Since 2012 when they won the national championship. And I feel like they have, they're losing some key elements, but I think they will be good enough to repeat their conference tournament appearance. Maybe not win it, but like I said, conference tournament appearance.
Quick touch on softball really quick. Yeah. They got put in the same position they did last year. They almost pulled it out. They had to beat Whitworth twice, beat him the first game, lost by a run with two in scoring position.
Yep.
And the second game had a great season. Mm-hmm. That team lost a lot as when they were freshmen, lost a little less as sophomores.
They graduated.
Won
got
a little better. Bit as juniors and won a lot as seniors.
Yep. So it was good to see that work put in.
Lacey, do you have a favorite thing that happened this year on the POU?
I don't have a favorite moment, but I just have a favorite athlete. And
me.
Drew
already
hit.
Me.
Yeah, it's Christian.
Yes.
Woo!
Let's go.
Does he play football?
Go check out Loot Center, our sports, our POU sports TV show. And Christian, you can see Christian at work.
Half athlete tries.
Pretty
half
fun stuff. Tries. But I will say, from doing Lacey's Lutes and being able to interview these athletes at PLU, it's been really fun to get to know them outside of their sport. But one of my favorite interviews and one of my favorite athletes has been Brad Hodkinson.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's only a sophomore, and he runs cross country, and he also does track and field. He runs for track and field. And
yeah.
He was the cross country Northwest Conference runner of the year. And for track, he was the athlete of the year, the Northwest Conference athlete of the year.
Yeah, I know.
So, and he's only a sophomore. So, for Christian and DJ, I'm jealous that you guys get to keep up with him for another year, because that'll be fun to see what he's able to do.
Yeah, it's always one of those guys, like, you know, track, field, cross country may not be in the forefront of the sports that get attention, but when you hear about what he does and what he accomplishes, your jaw hits the floor. It's amazing.
Practice routine.
That was my favorite part of the interview. Oh, yeah, a light day for me is about 10 miles. We all looked at him like, huh?
Insane. All right, so we're going a little bit over time. We gotta get out of here. Today has been fantastic. We hope you enjoyed the show at home. For Lacey Nicholson, DJ Winter, and Drew Artisoni, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See ya.